Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Reserve Bank and welcome to our monetary policy statement for September. The Reserve Bank has this morning determined to cut the official cash rate from 8 to 7.5%, that is by a 50 basis points cut. The global outlook that we see today has deteriorated significantly over the last quarter in the wake of continued international financial market turmoil. In addition, we've seen the New Zealand economy start to experience a marked slowdown led by the household sector here. In addition, New Zealand business is coming under more pressure from higher costs and from softer demand. Overall, this implies that we are now going through a period of household readjustment in New Zealand, and it's a period of below average growth. We do, in our forecasts, see a pickup later in the year. This is primarily driven by tax cuts, by government spending, by stronger rural incomes, and also by softer monetary policy. This year, food prices, the softer exchange rate, and wage cost pressures has still left headline inflation elevated. In fact, it's peaking, we believe, just below 5% approximately currently. After that, we believe it tracks down. It's both weaker macroeconomic activity and also the beneficial results of past monetary policy that do mean we now have a track for lower medium-term inflation pressures. And it's consequently, as a result of that, we think it appropriate to be able to move to a less restrictive monetary policy. We have brought our profile of interest rate cuts forward a little, but we haven't altered our overall expected decline in the rate schedule. We believe this front-loading, if you like, of the cuts has been warranted by the tight current credit conditions that we see, and also by the time that it can take to actually affect market interest rates, both for the household sector and the business sector. What lies ahead? Well, we say that the scale and the timing of future OCR cuts is going to be dependent on us seeing evidence of reduced inflation pressures. It will also depend on any developments in the exchange rate. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of the formal press release. We're happy to take any questions. To help me, as usual, I have Dr. McDermott, our Chief Economist, and Tim Hampton, the head of our forecasting team.
Dr. Bonnet, are you applying a cattle prod to the banks here to lower their mortgage rates? Is that the message you're giving?
The banks will reach their own decisions about what needs to happen to mortgage rates, but we think we're giving quite a lot of room to for them to make decisions and without having a strong view about what's going to happen. There are, of course, a very wide range of rates out there. We would expect some of this to certainly pass through and trigger mortgage rate reduction.
And you expect the dollar to drop on this news. How much of a drop would be excessive in your view?
Look, we don't have a particular number. We're all aware that excessive and speedy reduction in the New Zealand dollar is damaging to inflation, and that clearly means that we've got less room to move when that happens. We haven't set a particular figure. We observe, of course, that on the FX market, what's really been happening has been very major day-to-day changes in the US dollar. We tend to have been moving in the Australian dollar shadow over recent weeks.
Was much consideration given to cutting by 50 basis points?
We did cut by 50 basis points.
Was the size of today's cut an indication, is it an admission by you that you've tightened too far?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if anything, it's a recognition of the fact that New Zealand has been one of the central banks that has run a classically tighter monetary policy during the upswing, and therefore we think we've got room to move in a downswing, and it's evidence of that. So in a sense, it's a dividend from that.
Did the recent fall in oil prices make this decision easier for you?
Well, I guess we've seen several classes of things happen with that softening in the world economy. One is the fall in oil prices, and yes, of course it does. We don't know where oil prices go. I think you'll find forecasters have all got things quite wrong in the past and are quite hesitant about where they take their forecasts. So we're all rather conservative on that, but yes, that absolutely makes things easier. At the same time, of course, that has been associated with a stronger US dollar and with weaker commodity prices, and we have to factor all of those in.
In your overview, you discuss macroeconomic imbalances. Are you talking more about the housing market or the current account resolving there? You say that macroeconomic imbalances are unwinding at this point, which ones in particular?
Well, I think we've seen a connected set of imbalances that relate to household balance sheets, lack of savings, the household sector asset bubble, so the housing asset bubble, and the current account or the size of the current account deficit. So they've all got an interrelationship in there, and we're talking about that whole bigger picture.
How serious are the risks of us falling into a deeper recession at this point? I mean, the graphs are looking very ugly. You're anticipating a good quarter in the final quarter. I mean, that's guessing work at this point.
No, actually, it's not guessing work, it's a forecast. But what are the chances of that being wrong? Well, I mean, of course, there's the possibility of that. Our activity profile is that Q1, Q2, and Q3 are all mildly negative. We expect to see a pullout at that point. Actually, I think the risk really is whether we have a weak pullout or a stronger pullout, rather than whether we have a pullout.
Is there less likelihood now that we'll see a cut in October?
Less likelihood than compared to what?
Well, you said you'd advanced your
planned cuts today.
Does that mean there won't be one in October, or
is it
less likely to be one in October?
We've made decisions for today. We don't know what we're going to do in October. But the market picture on forward track of rates has been that we head down a little bit of a staircase, and you can draw your own conclusions from looking at our 90-day graph there as well. So, I mean, I wouldn't speculate beyond that.
At what point do 90-day bills stop being contractionary in your view?
You're talking about...
You say that in your statement that we're still experiencing contractionary interest rate levels.
From the effective mortgage rate, which has been pushing up. Don, do you want to...
Normally you can simply just look at the 90-day bank bill and that will give you everything about monetary policy. Right now, what's going on in international markets means interest rates are moving in different directions. So it's important to realise that even if the 90-day bank bill just simply comes down gently, the market rate that businesses and households will face could actually be increasing, and that's really what matters. So part of today's move is to think about the transmission mechanism into financial markets.
In which case, we say that the bank is, as Brian said before, loudly asking for interest rates to fall.
The bank has said here's a 50 basis points cut. We'd expect competition to determine what happens to that, but there is quite a bit of room in those. And we do have a general view that we want to see monetary policy conditions loosening, not just at the wholesale policy level, but we'd expect to see some of that reflected through.
Do you entirely accept what the banks are saying about increasing spreads for the imported share of their funding? That's what you're trying to lean against here, is that?
Yeah, I mean, we expect them to make up their own mind. We cut by 25 basis points last time, and we got quite an amount of mortgage rate cuts, but not entirely across the board out of that. would expect to see a response this time as well. We don't particularly expect to see stickiness in these rates on the downside, and in particular we don't think that we will suffer the problem that the US has been suffering, where the Federal Reserve has cut their reference rate very significantly, and until recently very little of that has been reflected through onto retail rates for credit reasons.
Floating rates didn't fall after July. Were you disappointed after the floating rates haven't come down?
We haven't taken a particular view on that.
What do you expect floating rates to fall now?
Again, we've got a track of 90-day rates that you can see. It would be consistent with that, but most of our mortgage lending isn't done off floating rates, so floating rates aren't as important here in that sense as they are in Australia.
They are for distressed borrowers and for people who are trying to wait between refixing. I mean, if interest rates are going to fall, people want to move on to a floating rate temporarily, perhaps.
Well, I think you might be looking for more precision around a monetary policy tool than there actually is. We'd expect the market to take this into account, together with all the other funding costs, to reach a view about how they'd price across the curve.
In terms of, it says that, you say in your statement that you're still expected to remain contractionary for some time. For how long? And do you want that, or would you prefer it to remain, to drop out of being contractionary as quick as possible? I mean, what's the
Well, we think we are mildly contractionary for some time. We don't need to say yet just how long, because it depends on some other factors as well, in particular where the exchange rate goes and in particular where medium-term price pressures go. That's why we don't try and construct something that is very precise about that. However, we could go through a number of cuts yet and still be either neutral or a little tight because of where we currently are.
Do you think that the postal tax cuts next month are coming in the nick of time, considering the downturn?
The personal tax cuts timing does roughly meet a trough in household consumption. So in that sense, it's helpful to stabilise household consumption. We have always just said, well, that's one of a whole bunch of different things happening. But the timing from that works quite well and possibly better than had been expected when some of those things were originally designed.
Dr. Bollard, there's some accusations out there that they think that by this move that the bank has gone soft on inflation?
Oh, well, it only happened, Patrick, 5 minutes ago, and I get a lot of fast criticism, but I haven't been picking up through the airwaves
that yet. There might be some criticism there that the Reserve Bank may be seen to be soft on inflation.
Well, are we soft on inflation? We don't think so. We think we've been absolutely consistent on this because we are focused not on inflation today. We think, as I just said, that inflation today could be around 4.9%. But we can do what we like with the OCR today. It doesn't impact that at all. It impacts the medium term. So we have kept our focus on the medium term. That's roughly 18 months to 3 years out there. At that period, we do come back in on track. And while some of our forecasts haven't been right through this period, and I'm afraid that's been an international phenomenon, we have always been focused on that medium term point, and we still are. And that's the only thing that can allow us to cut rates now. We, of course, look at the makeup in there. There's non-tradables, and the non-tradable side is usefully coming off and has been for some time, but off still high levels. The tradable side, of course, is coming off, but as you know, that's very volatile depending on the exchange rate.
How much of a concern is the level and the trend in inflation expectations right now?
That is a concern. We do take that seriously. We get a bunch of data on it, but we put a lot of attention on the two-year surveys. We put more attention on them than I think most central banks do. That's partly because we don't actually get the value out of some of the market data that they tend to, where they have deeper markets that they can pull out information on this on. But we do still take that seriously. Now, it's been pushing up, but very gradually. It's been pushing up in the context of one of the biggest price shocks we've ever had in New Zealand. So, of course, it was going to go up. I guess we have concern for the future numbers on that. We'll watch them tightly. On the other hand, we have some comfort we've taken that that has stayed reasonably restrained. Incidentally, the numbers are somewhat similar to inflation expectations numbers in Britain and the States as well. And we're all watching one another at the moment because this is a different cycle. It's a cycle when financial issues look quite difficult. Housing has gone through a real boom bust, but the labour market doesn't look like it's too badly affected, and inflation expectations have stayed more anchored than I guess many of us might have thought.
Dr. Bollard, you're expecting quite a bust in the housing market. How severe are the shocks from that likely to be?
Well, we think we're halfway through it. It's behaving pretty much as we've thought over the last couple of months. It's a lot better than, for example, is happening in the US, where there's, as you know, some very poor issues in funding, and there's a lot of negative equity and people walking away, and they can't see the trough coming up, and that is a real concern for us all. That's not the case in New Zealand. In New Zealand, we believe from a number of independent variables now that we can see a trough around the end of this year, start of next year. But that means we're not there yet. We've had a price reduction of, we're expecting a nominal price fall of 15%, and we're only a little halfway into that. You get similar reductions in transactions and in new investment and so on also. I guess it's a real retrenchment, but it's a well-behaved retrenchment.
Are you expecting a rapid rise in mortgagee sales? Because things are going to get worse before they get better, aren't they?
Well, there will be a significant rise in mortgagee sales, but we're not expecting another thing that's plagued the United States, which is households with negative equity walking away from their homes. It just isn't likely to happen here.
Any thoughts on the kind of scale of forced sales?
No, we haven't a view on that. We talk increasingly to the banks about that. We believe they've got that well under control. These numbers will be rising, but from historically very low levels.
In terms of the effect of mortgage rates, though, that's still going to rise a little more before it starts tailing down, isn't it? Things are going to get worse before they get better.
It's expected to be a small increase in the effect of mortgage rate over the coming months, but it's less than what we were previously expecting. And the marginal rates that new mortgages are going out on, we expect those to, but they've already come down, and we'd expect further reductions.
So household budgets will get tighter?
Yeah, the expectations out there, though, will look like there's relief coming. But certainly households still have to adjust.
Do you have any concerns?
Sorry, I'll just get out of the
Governor, you were saying that you're comfortable that inflation expectations are anchored, and they're currently about 3%. How much further above 3% would you say they're not anchored?
Oh, well, we don't have a number, and we aren't forecasting expectations, but we wouldn't want to see them getting too much higher, particularly if we've seen the headline numbers come right off and start to come down. So, sorry, can't give you a number.
And you said on July 24 that you wouldn't want to see excessive exchange rate depreciation. There has been some form of the currency, although not so much on a TWI basis. Again, how worried are you about the excessive form, and what would you consider excessive form?
Well, look, we're concerned that we shouldn't see, as we go into a reduced tightening phase, that the exchange rate moves too rapidly for reasons that aren't fundamental. We don't have numbers there. We are all the time looking at likely impacts on imported inflation out of that. But so far, yes, the exchange rate is down further from where it was with our official cash rate. Not particularly for New Zealand-specific reasons, is our take. It's for a bunch of international reasons. were there to be New Zealand specific focus in this, then we might take a slightly different view.
You mentioned in the statement that the new issuance of Eurodashi bonds has reduced in recent months. Do you see a risk there of the exit of funds from New Zealand economy as that money perhaps goes to Brazil or South Africa or wherever?
So do we see a risk?
Risk of an exodus of funds as some of those investors don't roll over the Eurodashi and Eurodashi bonds.
Oh, I don't think we see a particular risk of exodus of funds there, but as you say, it's sort of new maturity to the, I mean, it's new issues of the question, and certainly New Zealand, Kiwi, and I think Aussie as well are much less flavour of the day in those. They're down at levels that are less important for us to worry about, but we wouldn't want to see any particular subset of the market being driven by any particular forced to pull money out in a significant way. We don't see signs of that.
Dr. Pollard, you see the New Zealand economy as being better placed to weather the global sort of economic conditions than say the US economy in particular, and yet you're forecasting a long-term fall in the New Zealand dollar or depreciation of the dollar. Is that just a medium-term phenomenon, or is that a...
Yeah, I didn't quite say what you just quoted me as saying. We think monetary policy has been well positioned to help the New Zealand economy through this period. The US, of course, has been in an interesting situation with very difficult housing sector, very difficult financial sector, but so far the rest of the world's having the recession that everybody thought they were going to have. They're not having it yet. So
they are having a recession.
On the numbers at the moment, they're not.
Do you have any concerns about what may come out of the Select Committee inquiry into the monetary policy framework?
We're very interested in seeing the Select Committee inquiry report. I assume it'll be coming out shortly. I guess a curiosity more than concern, because clearly we're looking for things that can make monetary policy more effective both on the upturn and the downturn of the cycle.
Nevertheless, Dr. Bollard, even if the US is not actually technically in a recession at this point...
It just had 3.3% annualised Q2 growth.
Well, it's definitely suffering very, very serious economic times in terms of employment and housing, and much more serious than we are. I mean, what's our relative position in relation to those currencies in terms of long-term growth prospects?
Well, we don't take a view on that, but we will look at where the New Zealand, the apparent drivers of the New Zealand dollar at a particular time, and an important one has always and has still been the level of commodity prices. Now, at the moment, commodity prices are coming off, but off very high levels. That means less support for a commodity exporting country's currency like the Kiwi, but it doesn't necessarily mean it goes down to very low levels. We'd expect it on the long term to continue to reflect the fundamental competitiveness of the economy, but we know in the short term all sorts of other things can happen.
So we're competitive in the long term, but in the short term it's a bit uncertain.
No, I don't think I said that either. Any other questions? Ben?
Did the activity around the bailouts of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac over the last week and the volatility on financial markets and credit markets have any effect on the size of the cut that you've announced today?
No, we certainly did all our work in the context of quite a bit of instability in the financial markets, and we are never insulated from that, but nothing specifically around that, no.
And just finally from the Australians are looking at a deposit insurance scheme. Do you think that's something New Zealand should look at?
Well, New Zealand has an open mind on deposit insurance, this probably isn't the appropriate time to talk about it. We'll be doing our financial stability report on November the 4th. It's closer to that. Are there any other questions? Well, thank you. Can I note that we have with us today the clever team from Scots College in Wellington, who are winners of our monetary policy challenge. They'll be the governors of the future, and I'm sure they're available for interviews as well if any. Thanks very much, everyone.